I'm thankful today for those who throughout my life have prayed for me. We need each other's prayers. Appreciate the good song. And I ask your prayers as I stand before you this morning. I want to call your attention to the 116th Psalm. Psalm 116. And let's read together. Let's start with the first verse. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And I'm going to stop reading for a moment there, but I perhaps will read a little bit more of this as we go on. But the title of my message today, and I want to talk primarily today, I believe, to those of us who have been saved. But the title of my message today is, What Shall I Give Him Who Gave All for Me? And I want to, it's my desire again today to bring before you the message that the Lord sent me here to bring. And I'm going to ask you today to pay attention to the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you today to consider the Word of God. And when the Lord is finished with me, if you say, I didn't like the sermon, I want you to remember that I didn't ask you to like it. I ask you to listen and consider the word of the Lord. And I realize that, in our walk with God, I realize that as God's people, that we are not perfect. We're not perfect, are we? And there are times, I believe, that it's necessary for us to remind ourselves and to be reminded of things that the Lord expects of us. There are things that God expects of us as his people. Not just that he would like to see happen, but there are things that God expects of his church. And Brother Wheat mentioned this morning in Sunday school about the ordinances that the Lord left for his church. And he expects those ordinances to be maintained, doesn't he? I mean, he just, not something he would like to see happen, but he expects us to continue and to do the things that he left us here to do. And so as we think about that, and we look back into the scriptures that I have read, I'm convinced here that the psalmist, now, it seems like that if you If you read different things that different people write about different passages of Scripture, it always seems like there's somebody that wants to try to complicate things and try to, it seems oftentimes there's people that try to say that something that seems to be very obvious means something totally different. But I'm persuaded here that we have the psalmist speaking of the saving grace of God. And what the Lord did for him. And he expressed in this that he loved the Lord. And he tells the reason why that he loved the Lord. Because the Lord had heard his voice and his supplications. And he speaks about this, great spiritual dilemma that he was in. This great spiritual pain and spiritual sorrow that he was suffering, how that the sorrows of death had compassed him and the pains of hell had got hold of him and he had found trouble and sorrow. And certainly those are things that those of us that have experienced conviction of sin and the condemnation and the contrition that comes as a result of that, we know what he was talking about. We understand this great, spiritual pain that we experience under conviction. And, the psalmist tells us that it was in this state, in this condition, that he called upon the name of the Lord. And he tells us here, he speaks about how that the Lord was so gracious unto him. Gracious and merciful unto him. And he said in verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Now, everybody that has truly been saved, no matter how that you may tell your experience, and I've mentioned before, and we know this from when different people tell their experience. We know that, sometimes people get saved in church services. Sometimes they get saved in their house, and people, have been saved in all different locations. But no matter how that anybody was saved, and no matter how a person's own experience is when they tell it, everybody that has been saved can say the Lord dealt bountifully with their soul and showed them grace and mercy and his love. And so he goes on in verse 8 and he says that the Lord had delivered his soul from death, from eternal death, his eyes from tears, and his feet from falling. And so he expresses in this, in these beautiful words, and of course we know that, the psalmist David really had a way with words, didn't he? I mean, he truly had a way with words. When you read the things, oftentimes when you read the things that David wrote concerning God, don't you find yourself saying, wow, I wish I could express my feelings about God the way that he was able to. And we know that David wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he had a beautiful way with words and a beautiful way expressing how he felt about God. And he goes on in this, and he asks what I believe is the all-important question. After he tells of the things that God had done for him and how that God had dealt so well with him and how that God had so blessed him in the salvation of his soul. He goes on in verse 12 and he poses what I believe to be a very, very important question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I want to speak about that. And of course, what David was saying here, the word render is easily understood. He was just simply saying, what will I give back? What will I return to the Lord for His blessings upon me, for His benefits upon me? And I want to go back. I thought about the years of my youth when I was studying this, and I thought about how that there used to be a time, it seemed, in our nation where, you know, in the area of employment, in the workforce, it seemed there used to be a time when people could be could have a lot more benefits in working for somebody than they do today. I mean, the things that it seemed used to be offered to people are just not offered as much today. And I remember a time, in fact, when I was 18 years old, when I was old enough to go into work in the factories and things like that, the city that I grew up in, it was very possible then for somebody to come out of high school and get a really good job. I mean, a job that would be sufficient for them, you know, for as long as they could have it. And I know that that's more difficult, it seems, for people to do that now than it used to be. And one of the things that you would hear all the time when people would talk about their jobs, and they may say, I got a job over here and I've got very good pay and very good benefits. They're giving me great benefits for being employed by them. I remember my dad, he left Kentucky. He left Monroe County, Kentucky about 1950, and he went to Indianapolis to get work. And he got a job up there in a factory and had a good job, and they provided him wages and a lot of good benefits, a lot of things that were helpful in raising a family. You know, the benefits of insurance and things like that that they provided for him. And I noticed in that, and I noticed this when I was just a small boy, but I noticed that with people that, you know, were able to obtain those jobs and work those jobs and were being given benefits for working those jobs, I noticed in them that they had a loyalty to the people that employed them. They would go to work. They would get up in the morning, or they would go in the afternoon or late at night, whenever they were supposed to be there. They were loyal to be there. They would report for duty when they were supposed to be there. I watched my dad many times. I remember these memories stand out in my mind. I watched him many times leave for his job, leave to go to work when he didn't feel very well. You know, he had a bad cold or something like that and really didn't feel well, but yet he would leave for work. He would take off and he would go to work and he would fight through it. And I noticed in him a diligence and a loyalty to the people that employed him. And I noticed that in other you know, people in my life. I noticed that example that they were setting in that way. And so when we think about that, I want us to think about, as David was mentioning here, as God's children, how loyal that we ought to be to the Lord. Because nobody has ever given the benefits that He does. Nobody has ever benefited His people the way that the Lord does. And that's what David asked the question here. What shall I return? What shall I give unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I want you to think with me today as we consider these questions and these thoughts. I want you to think with me today as a Christian, as a child of God, what are you willing to do for the Lord? What are you willing to give to the Lord? I'll tell you what, I think it's a shame if we really, if we're really willing to look at ourselves and we're really willing to face the truth, I think it's a shame sometimes how that God gets robbed by his children. He does. We oftentimes, we are just not faithful to him the way that we ought to be. In fact, I believe that there have been many that have been more faithful to their secular employer. There have been people that are more diligent in their service to the one that provides them with money and provides them with these secular benefits than they have been to the Lord. And that's not right. And I don't believe you can make it right. In fact, I know you can't make it right. We ought, you know, God is to be first in our lives in everything. And he just does not accept anything but that. God will not accept second place or third place. He demands that we have him first in all things. God, under the giving of the Mosaic law, he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." There's nothing that we are to, have above God. There's nothing that we are to worship more than we worship God. He is to be first in our lives, and that's what he demands of us. God demands that of us. You know, God is not just, he is not the type of God that just sits back and he says, "Well, I really wish, you know, that they would put me first." No, God says, "You put me first and foremost in your life. You don't have anything else before me." In the 68th Psalm, I want to share some other verses with you from the Psalms that tell us about the benefits of God. And I want you to think, within yourself, I want you to think about, those of you who have been saved. I want you to just think, as I'm talking about these things today, how that God has really blessed you and how that he has really benefited you with the things that he has blessed you with. And I want you to ask yourself the question, am I rendering unto the Lord? Am I returning to him? Am I giving back to God for his benefits toward me? You know, there have been people in my life, I'm sure there have been people in your life, that have been good to me. There have been people that have helped me in a lot of ways. I thank God for friends. Isn't it wonderful to have good friends? I thank God for people that will help me along the way in life. But let me tell you something. There's nobody that ever does for us the things that God does. And there's nobody that can do for us the things that God is able to do for you. Listen, you may have a wonderful father. You may have loving parents, a loving father and mother. You may have a wonderful husband or wife. You may have wonderful children. But let me tell you something. There are things that God can do for us that nobody else can do. When it came to the feeling, I know that children depend on their parents. They do. I mean, they look to their parents for certain things. They look to their parents for certain provisions, but I want you to think, when it came to that point in your life where you felt within you what the psalmist was talking about here, when you felt those pains of hell, when you felt the sorrows of death, when you were under conviction for your sin, when your soul was condemned, did you not realize in yourself that there was nobody that you could go to but God? Dad couldn't help you. Mom couldn't help you. Nobody but God was able to do what the psalmist said here when he said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I want you to know something today. If you're sitting in this congregation here this morning and you are lost and separated from God, you've got a problem that only God can fix. Nobody else can take care of it. I believe that my parents would have done anything they could for me. But they couldn't fix that. They couldn't fix that. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us daily with benefits, even the God of our salvation. In the 103rd Psalm, verses 2 through 5, listen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. God gives to his people great eternal benefits. Now, I remember somebody, I believe it was Sister LaVon, mentioned Austin's daughter this morning, and I thought, well, I probably worked with that lady. I was employed by that same company. I remember when I got my job there in the late 70s in Indianapolis there at Western Electric. I remember going in and after I'd been hired and they told me of all of the things. They told me, you know, the wages that I'd be making and the benefits that I'd be getting. And they told me about the health insurance and the vacation and all these things, all these benefits that I would be getting for working for them. But they never did say to me, now listen, these benefits that we're going to give you, they will go with you through all of eternity. You will have them all through eternity. They can't do that, could they? But God loads us daily with not only the blessings of this life, but God gives us eternal benefits. Do you know that in the summer of 1973, when the Lord saved me from my sins, that when God spoke peace to my soul, saved me by his grace, did you know that he gave to me something that I'll have through the ceaseless ages of eternity? That it'll never go away? Did you know that when God saved you, that he gave you something that will never go away? I mean, the body will die, won't it? We're facing that. We know that we're facing the grave. We know that we're facing that time. Should the Lord delay his coming and tarry? We know that we're facing that time when the body will be laid aside in death. But that salvation that the Lord Jesus gave to us when he saved us, he gave us an eternal salvation. He gave us eternal life. And when we die and close our eyes here and leave the walks of this life, friends, we'll still be saved. We'll be saved forever. Tell me anybody else but God that could have done that for you. And if you come up with somebody, I'm going to tell you you're way wrong. God's the only one that can do that. What shall I render to him for all his benefits toward me? I want you to think. when God saved you. Jesus said concerning his sheep, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. I'll tell you what, friends, listen. Those that go around in this world saying that a person can be saved and then lost again, they haven't read the Scriptures right. I'm telling you what, those that have been saved have been given eternal life, and we are eternally secure in the Lord, and we are going to live forever. God has given to us, when He saved us by His grace, He gave to us an eternal home in heaven, and I am persuaded that the one that did that, I'm persuaded that the one that gave to me that promise of eternal life, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm going to heaven when I die. Are you? Well, if you've been saved, you are. If you haven't been saved, you're not. And I pray that you'll seek him and be saved. God gave me a home in heaven when he saved me by his grace. He gave me a continual friendship. I'm talking about 24/7 friendship. I'm talking about somebody that's there around the clock, day in and day out, to help me with whatever I need help with. I'm talking about God being my constant companion. Is he not that? Have we not been saved by a God that said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you? Is he not with his children day in and day out? Does not the Bible tell us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Do we not have a God that's on our side that can comfort us no matter what is happening around us? Is that not a great benefit? Is that not a great benefit to know? I'll tell you what, folks, there can be some rough things happen to you in life, can there not? I mean, you can get some bad news all of a sudden. But God's children, we have somebody that we can go to that has the knowledge and he has the ability to sustain us by his grace through anything that we face. You believe that today? Do you believe that no matter what trials may come your way, do you believe that no matter what you may face in life, that God has grace that is sufficient to sustain you through the trial? Well, I'll tell you what, he does. He does. He has sufficient grace for anything that we face. God, you know, I thank God today for the benefit today, the privilege of being a member of his church, because not only has God given to me a home in heaven, not only has God said to me, I'm with you all the time, I'll never leave you, I've never forsake you, but God gave me the great privilege of being a member of the greatest family of people on the earth. I believe that about the church. I love my church family. I believe that we are among people. I tried to bring a message just a couple of weeks back about how that God cares, and he does. You know, we can go to him and we can cast our cares upon him, because He cares for us. But I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you young Christians. You're going to get tempted with things. There's going to be, the devil is going to try to use things to lead you astray. But I want to encourage you to stick with the church because you're among people that love you and care about you. You stick with them. You'll be in good company. So, that is some of the things that God has blessed us with. Now, what will we do? What are we willing to do? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what God asks of us? That we do what we're doing here today, and that we do not forsake that. That we do not forsake the opportunity and the privilege to assemble ourselves together. Well, how much, the one that saved you by His grace, the one that gave you eternal life, the one that gave you a home in heaven when this life is over, the one that is ready, willing, and able to help you whenever you need Him, if it's the middle of the night, the one that's there at our that's just a prayer away at our beckoning call. When we cry out to Him for help, when we cry out to Him for His grace to help us through something, how much will you give Him? Here at our church at Fairview Memorial, we meet three times a week. We meet on Sunday morning, and we meet on Sunday evening, and we meet on Wednesday evening. Some of you must think that's too much. You must think the Lord is asking too much of you because you don't show up for most of them. Is that too much? For the God that did all of those things for you, to ask you to give to Him your time on Sunday morning, and to give Him your time on Sunday evening, and to give Him your time for a while in the middle of the week, that you may keep what He has said to you about not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Is that too much to give to the one that saved you and gave you eternal life? Sometimes we have singings. We're having singing tonight. Brother Strode, I love the singings. I get a blessing from the singings. But sometimes I hear people don't come back because they say, singing is not really my thing. Let me tell you something, friends. Be loyal to your church. Be dedicated to your church. And if they're holding a service that's not exactly your cup of tea, come and support your church in what they're doing. When you, when we come back tonight, will you be here? Will you be here to support the singing, the singers that the church has invited to sing? Listen, I wonder, when we have such a drastic decline in attendance from our morning to our evening service, I wonder, as a pastor, I wonder, where did everybody go? I thought a while back, I thought maybe the best thing for us to do might to be for us to meet for our evening service, maybe about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then there wouldn't be so many people that would have time to get away. Maybe we just have too much time between and you all get away. and go somewhere else. But I wonder a lot of times, where did everybody go? I wonder those that don't come back. I wonder what they did. You know, did they just decide that, you know, once was enough? I don't need any more of God today. I don't need any more fellowship today. I don't need any more of those blessings today that come from being assembled with the people of God. I'm just going to stay home. You know, there's a good TV show on anyway. What do you do, folks? What are you doing when your church is meeting here and you're not? I told you, you may not like it, but you ought to think about it. What are you giving to the Lord? I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you want a pastor that'll baby you, get you one. I think we need to think about the truth. I think we need to think about what God expects of us. Not what, you know, not what we want to do, but what God expects of us. Let me ask you something. If you've got a job that's continually hindering you and keeping you from the house of God, are you willing to look for something else? You ought to be. You ought to be willing to look for something that won't hinder your service to God, because He ought to be first in everything that we do. God ought to be first in our lives. If you've got a hobby that leads you away from the house of God, if you've got a hobby that leads you away from assembling yourselves together, you ought to get rid of it and honor God with your life. You young Christians, if you got a boyfriend or girlfriend that don't want to be here with you, you just tell them, well, if you want to see me, that's where you'll be. Because I'm going to devote my life to the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me ask you, are you willing to do this for the Lord today? Are you willing to do this today for the one that saved you? Are you willing to embrace this in your heart and acknowledge the truth of it, that I do not belong to myself, that God bought me, that He purchased me when He saved me? You remember the story about the in the scriptures, the account in the scriptures about the widow that gave the two mites. It was all that she had, and she threw it into the treasury. Remember how Jesus was so pleased with that she gave all her living? I had a pastor recently told me, he said, somebody had come to him and said, Pastor, I just don't believe the Bible teaches tithing. I just don't believe that stuff. And he said, well, you know what? I don't either. He said, let's go to the New Testament. That teaches to give it all. Well, that kind of ended that conversation. That's what the Lord was happy with, wasn't He? He was happy with that woman, not because that what she gave, it didn't have anything to do with the amount that it was. He was happy and blessed by that woman because she was willing to give everything that she had to the Lord. And listen, isn't that those of us that have been saved? Did we not have to do that in order to be saved? Did we not have to forsake everything in order to be saved? Did you not make some promises in your heart to God when you were seeking Him for the salvation of your soul? Did we not have to let go of everything? Did we not even have to count eternal life more important than our earthly life in order to be saved? Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible teaches me that our service to God is to be based upon the same thing, that we are to give Him everything. 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 And I mentioned that scripture. I'm not talking about money, and I think you know that. I believe that we are, yes, I believe of the way that God blesses us, yes, we are to give the Lord. But I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving our lives to the Lord. I'm talking about what we find recorded in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll tell you what, folks, we've got a wrong attitude oftentimes about the things of God. We've got, it seems, an attitude oftentimes that it's no big deal, you know, whether I go to not. Preachers, let me ask you this. You know, when you're not here, are you somewhere preaching? I hope that you haven't decided just to stay home. That's no example for preachers to set. That's no example for any of us to set. We need to teach our children that when the church assembles, that it's important and it needs to take priority. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you willing to be a shining light for the one that saved you? As I started to say a moment ago, we've just got a bad attitude oftentimes, and we've got a very wrong attitude oftentimes about the things of God. The Bible says, I read it to you, folks. You can turn and read it yourself. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. And we will do that with hardly a thought about it. Well, I just, you know, got something else to do. Don't feel like doing it. You know, I kind of got the sniffles tonight. And, you know, just... Well, we'll talk ourselves out of it in a hurry, won't we? I'm not mad at you, folks. I love you. If I didn't love you, I'd have never got up here and said this today. We need to honor the one that saved us from our sins, and he needs to take priority in our lives. And if you've got something in your life that's messing that up, you need to make a change. You need to get rid of it and make a change that you can live your life and let your light shine in a way that it'll glorify the one that saved you. Live your life for the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna use him today for an example. We just had to say goodbye to a beloved brother not long ago. But I believe that Brother J.P. Doss attended the house of God as long as he possibly could. I saw him at things, at times. I would see him at revivals, at sister churches, where I never saw many of you. And I knew that he really wasn't well enough to be there. I saw him show up for a taping at the old-fashioned gospel hour, and I knew that he physically didn't feel like being there, but there he was. You know, to me, he was an Epaphroditus. You read about Paul's friend Epaphroditus. Paul said, for the work of Christ, he was sick nigh unto death. There was a man that you don't hear much about him. You read about him in the Philippian letter. There was a man that lived in the days of the mission work of the Apostle Paul named Epaphroditus, and he was sick, And he went on and he served the Lord to the point that he was almost dead from his sickness. And yet he was going on and he was serving the Lord. And Paul wrote about that man with great admiration and great respect for him. You read about it. Go read the Philippian letter and read about what Paul says about Epaphroditus. People that serve the Lord, you know, I mean just as much as they possibly can, those type of people gain my respect. And I believe the Lord looks upon that with great favor. Well, I'm finished. I appreciate you being here today. I do. Glad you're here. But I just believe that we need a greater dedication to the Lord than what we have. We let too many things too easily distract us. I've experienced people, tears running down their face, come and stand before the church and give their testimony of salvation and express a desire to unite with the church, and they submit to baptism, to water baptism. They submit to the ordinance of baptism, and, you know, I fill the baptistry up and baptize them, and in 2 weeks, they're gone. That ain't right, is it? Of course not. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not why, you know, we don't join the church just to take off. We join the church to work and serve the Lord through the church. And I'm just afraid that we lack dedication. We lack dedication. I pray that God will help us. I pray that we'll want to do what's right. That we'll want to do what the Bible tells us that we ought to do. And live our lives the way the Bible tells us that we are to live. And be the people that God will be happy with. If you're not concerned about anything but making yourself happy, you're trying to please the wrong person. You're trying to please the wrong one. It's God that we are to seek to please. Anybody have anything on your heart this morning?